You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
A story of horror and hope now from Libya. You can read all about the captivity and the horror of Libya in chaos in the latest issue of The Atlantic magazine. Claire Morgana Gillis tells the story of how in April she was captured by loyalists of Muammar Gaddafi while reporting from the front lines of the conflict. Two other journalists were captured alongside her, while a South African photojournalist traveling with the group was shot and killed. Claire was eventually released and has continued to report from Libya right up until the last days of Muammar Gaddafi and now the early days of the birth of a new nation. Claire Morgana Gillis joins us now from Tunisia. Claire, good morning.
Oh, good morning, John.
And explain to me what your perspective is of these early days of Libya's growth as a new nation without Muammar Gaddafi before we get into your extraordinary story.
Well, the main thing that's going on now, and you can see intensifying clashes over the last couple of days outside of Tripoli, is the fact that the society is so heavily weaponized at this point, and there really is a power vacuum in terms of the NTC not being strong enough to demand that the groups turn in their weapons, and also the fact that they have no form of public security to replace these fighters with.
So people are using their weapons to protect themselves, but also to release a certain amount of anger and frustration over the pace of change?
That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is, you know, simply competition for resources. The clashes that are happening outside of Tripoli right now seem to be focused on who has access to this military compound, which used to belong to one of Gaddafi's sons. So it seems like people just, you know, they've developed the habit of fighting for what they want. And if they see something, they'll go for it.
And that habit was not as well developed when you were captured last April and held by loyalists of Muammar Gaddafi. Did you ever expect, first of all, that you would escape the clutches of Gaddafi, who seemed so firmly determined to stay in power back then? Explain what it was like in your captivity.
Well, honestly, it was pretty clear to me from the beginning that we would be released. It just might take some time. We had other detained reporters' experiences to base this idea on. Like there was a New York Times team that got captured a few weeks before we had been, and they were held, I think, about 5 days. So that was reassuring. And there were a couple of other detained journalists in Zawiya early in March. They had a rougher experience, but they also got out within a couple weeks. So I always figured, you know, no matter how bad it looks for Gaddafi, he knows how bad it looks to be holding on to Western journalists with no probable cause.
How could you be so confident, given the chaos that unfolded in Libya, you know, over the next many, many weeks until the fall of Gaddafi?
Well, a part of it is just if you're in a captivity or detention situation, you have to think positively. You have to believe that something is going to happen. If you give up in that situation, then you know, all you have is yourself. And if you're lucky, friends around are people you can talk to. But if you let yourself start to slip into, you know, desperation, that's the end in a way.
What was the worst moment that created the greatest challenge for, you know, keeping yourself from slipping into that negative sense that this wasn't going to end?
Well, I was most worried about my family, basically. I knew that my parents would be really worried about me. I knew my friends would be really worried about me. And the fact that I wasn't allowed to make a phone call for 2 weeks, it just made me really worry that they had no information whatsoever about me.
What was it like to go from captivity of Muammar Gaddafi to witnessing the fall of Sirte?
Yeah, it was really remarkable. I arrived late in September, and I went down to Misrata, where you know, most of the fighters who were converging on Sirte were coming from. And so I watched that battle go on for a month and a half. It was really, really long, and the resistance was surprisingly strong. And everybody was wondering the whole time, God, why is it so strong? People knew that Mu'tasim, one of Gaddafi's sons, had been located inside for a long time. So a lot of people said that was why the resistance was so strong. But then it turned out, of course, you have Gaddafi himself there, which I think really surprised a lot of people.
Well, we're talking with Claire Morgana-Gillis, who's a freelance journalist based in the Middle East. And you have a doctorate from Harvard University. You've been a stringer for a number of news organizations. How do you maintain your detachment when it became clear to you that the person responsible for your captivity was suddenly surrounded and probably not going to make it out alive?
Honestly, I didn't take it that personally. I was on the front lines of a battle. If you get captured in that situation, you're automatically more or less at the whim of who's ever captured you. You just have to hope for the best and hope for restraint involved. But I didn't see it as a personal thing. And, in terms of the fighters who captured him, killing him, it's not surprising to me. You see people who grew up in this society where they learned all about fear and abuse. It's no miracle that abusive people tend to come from abusive families. And under Gaddafi, Libya was a giant and dysfunctional and very abusive family. So, I'm not surprised that they killed him.
Does that temper your hope, that notion of an abused and dysfunctional family about the future in Libya?
I think they have a lot going for them. The thing that struck me the most in the final weeks of the battle for Sirte is how many of the fighters were saying, look, we're really tired of this. We want to go home. We want to get married. We want to have families or go back to our families. We want to start working again. And, this gives me a lot of hope for the future because they have all the possibilities to do this. They have plenty of money once it gets flowing. They have plenty of will to make something new of themselves. It's my concern that groups such as especially young women will not step up in this time to make certain changes that would benefit them and not just all the rebels who were united against Gaddafi.
Well, Claire Morgana-Gillis, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, John. Have a good day.
Claire Morgana-Gillis is a freelance journalist based in the Middle East. She recently completed her PhD in history at Harvard University and recounts the story of her captivity and her observation of the fall of Sirte in Libya in this month's issue of The Atlantic magazine.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.